episode 212 of Board Game Blitz, a podcast about all things board games that you can listen to in less time than it takes to remember that thing you wanted to do before you got distracted by 20 other things. No, just me? Board Game Blitz is sponsored by Gray Fox Games. This week, we're talking about our favorite things about making board game content. First, we discuss a couple games we've played recently, What in the World Are You Talking About?, and ARCs. Then, we talk about the best parts of being board game content creators. And now, here are your hosts,
Ambie
and Crystal. One final reminder that our giveaway is still going on. If you would like to win a bundle of Midgard games from Gray Fox Games, you can still enter our 8th anniversary giveaway. All you need to do is email boardgameblitz@gmail.com and tell us how long you've been a listener, regardless of how long that is, no judgment, and one thing that you would like to hear on the show in the future. Or, if you don't want to email us, you can head to our Ko-fi, that's Ko-fi, link is in the show notes, and become a supporter of Board Game Blitz. We've actually gained some new supporters as a result of this giveaway, and we are so, so, so grateful to all of you for supporting the content that we're making. And you're getting entered in the contest, too, so win-win, right? Like, that's amazing. So thank you, everybody. Giveaway will be ending at the end of the month, and we will announce the winner in the next episode.
Yay! Also, another announcement is we have a new merch store. So if you want t-shirts or stickers or magnets or something with our logo or Hexy on it, then you can get some. This is the same like designs as we had previously. It's just now a new merch store on TeePublic. I should have said where it is. TeePublic.com. We'll have a link in the show notes. But yeah, you can get a bunch of merch. They also have kid sizes, which was relevant to me. So yeah, it's exciting.
So yeah, go get yourself some new Blitz merch.
Recently I got a review copy of What on Earth Are You Talking About, published by Escape Tabletop Games, designed by Oliver Carmel Sean, Michael Wilkinson, and Mitch Young. This is a party game for 2 to 10 players. It says it plays 15 to 45 minutes and ages 17 plus, but I played it 3 times at 7 players, 4 players, and then 3 players. So it's a team guessing party game where one person on a team is guessing and everyone else is giving clues to the thing that they're trying to guess. And there's a 2-minute timer per turn or round or whatever. The theme is you're aliens and you like got some humans and are trying to figure out if we're intelligent life. So the humans are like Yeah, the humans are trying to describe the concept, but there's limits to that using these translator cards that have letters on them. And so you have to use words that start with that letter in that order. So it'll have letters like W, Y, F, blank, S, A, blank, H, blank, S. Those are the letters that you have to use. A blank can be anything, but you can only say words saying that. So W, Y, F, you can say like, if you're trying to describe, give me a phrase to describe.
Snowball. Oh, a phrase? Or
no, not a phrase, just like a concept.
How about snow? Would snow be a good
okay,
concept?
Okay, yeah. So if I'm trying to explain snow, and I have to say W, like something starting with W, like water, you froze, play, like stuff like that. And so you're saying these kind of disjoint things, and sometimes you can come up with a very cool thing with the letters that you have, and you have to like say it in order. The constraints are really neat.
For what it's worth, I literally just reverse engineered the letters you had said in my head to try and think what would be an example that would be easy for Ambie to come up with something quickly, and I'm very proud of myself for coming up with something that you were able to like do pretty quickly. So good job me reverse engineering that game, basically.
But yeah, so that's interesting. I like the concept with the constraints. Sometimes there's really creative clue giving. And then the other team also is spectating. And so they know what the answer is and they can laugh at it. And that can get funny because you know what they're trying to do and you can tell it's a creative clue, but then the person's not able to guess it. Yeah, so there was lots of laughing. Some of the phrases that people had to guess were things that some people didn't know. We have some friends who aren't native English speakers, so that would made it kind of hard. There was one word that was like a made up slang word that we hadn't really heard of. Like, we didn't hear of hangxiety. That was one of them.
Oh, I would say I'm pretty knowledgeable about slang, and I'm not even familiar with that one.
So. Yeah, so we're like, huh. So we just skipped that. There are rules on skipping and stuff, and there's rules about, like, you're going around a board basically trying to get to the end first, and there's some catch-up mechanics and, like, tiebreaker mechanics and stuff. It felt kind of long for us. It took us almost an hour when we played with seven players, because I don't know if we're just bad at it or, like, expect you to get more each time, but it was a long time, and we were both, like, almost to the end. End. So it was a long time. And then for the co-op one, it's time. It's like you have to go around and you get 24 minutes to go around. And so that one is basically half the time because it's just one team going. So that felt more good time length when you play like two or three players, or you can just play co-op. It's just playing against the clock instead of playing against another team. Because with teams, you're going back and forth. And so it's like twice as much time as the co-op version. But I liked the team one better because there was more laughing and like the spectating was really fun. Like one of the phrases was one night stand, and that was like really funny hearing people give clues for that and like we know what it is, and then the person guessing for it too, because that's probably why it says 17 plus for the ages, because of things like that. But that was fun just watching people like come up with things, but it just felt long. So I think when I play it, I think I would like the team mode of the game, but maybe half the time. So just like go halfway around the board instead of all the way around or something, because it felt like it went a little long for what it was for us. But yeah, that was What on Earth Are You Talking About? It's actually coming out July 19th, so it's not out yet.
Well, that sounds like a pretty fun game. Mm-hmm. I recently got to play ARCS, Conflict and Collapse in the Reach. Technically, just ARCS.
I didn't know
is
it had
name,
a full name.
There is a subtitle, yeah, which makes it sound way more dramatic. It is from Leader Games, designed by Cole Wuerl, and art by Kyle Farron. So kind of the usual suspects from Leader Games. And I don't always play all of Leader Games' games when they first come out, because a lot of their stuff is asymmetric, which while I really enjoy asymmetric games, they intimidate me a little bit. And so I sometimes wait a little while. Like Ambi and I did get to play Root together at Dice Tower West a few years ago, which was super fun. Mm-hmm. But this one intrigued me because it is not asymmetric. It is, this is a very crude description, but it is basically kind of an area control battling game, goal scoring, trick taking game. Like, it's really hard to succinctly describe what the mechanics are in this game. But generally what's going to happen is all of the players are dealt a hand of cards at the beginning of a round. And those cards have a number, a suit, and a couple of different icons on them that can represent different things. There's a number of pips on them that can represent the number of actions that the card will eventually give you. And there's also a symbol at the potentially at the bottom of the card that can represent an ambition. Ambitions are the way you score points in this game. Unlike a lot of board games where there are fixed goals that all players are working toward throughout the course of the game, in every round, they're not called rounds, they're called something else that I'm now forgetting. In each chapter, thank you, Dan. Dan's sitting nearby and is helping me out. In each chapter of the game, up to three different ambitions can be selected by individual players, and then those are the scoring conditions for that particular chapter. So the scoring is dynamic throughout the course of the game. But what's interesting about that is to claim an ambition, you have to play your cards right. So one player will always take the lead and play out the lead card, and then based on what they play, they might be able to claim an ambition or not, and then the other players will be able to follow, but depending on what cards they play, they will also potentially be able to take actions, or maybe only one action, depending. And then there's this giant board, which represents space, and all of the players will have, at the beginning of the game, control of certain areas of the board. You'll have both spaceports and cities on certain planets, and then you'll also have ships out on the board as well. Throughout the course of the game, you'll be making new ships, building new cities and spaceports on planets, and potentially moving into new areas and attacking your opponents, which is usually stuff that I don't like in a game, but it works really well in this one for me because the battles are one-sided in that they utilize dice, but only one person is rolling. It's not a back and forth kind of a thing. And when you go to battle, you are almost certainly going to take damage as well. It's very rarely a situation where one person goes in and just demolishes the other one and comes out unscathed. So it feels a little more balanced, and B, when bad stuff happens to you, you're expecting it. It's not like some random thing happened and all of your ships got destroyed like in some space games. So that's good. I'm not doing a really good job of explaining the flow of the game. I'm kind of just giving you some of the overview of what happens in it. There are also these guild cards that you get to place your agents on, and those will give you special powers throughout the course of the game. But you're on these planets, you're collecting resources, which you can then spend to do additional actions. And all of this, it's basically a weird mashup of an epic space adventure-y, resource claiming, goal claiming game and a trick-taking game together. And somehow it works. Our game lasted longer than I would have liked, but since it was a first play, that is, you know, potentially just because we were still learning and there were some certain things that we would have to like step back because we weren't certain what we were doing. But for a first impression, this one really, like, it wowed me quite a bit. Like I said, I don't typically nowadays go for the games where you're fighting it out in the middle of space, and this one was fun because it was different. It doesn't feel like a lot of the other space games that I've played. So I really enjoyed it. I definitely want to play it again at some point, and I want to play it at other player counts as well. We played it with a full 4 player count, which I think it's probably going to be best at 3 or 4, but I would be curious to see what it's like with 2. The trick-taking aspect would be interesting because obviously one person will always have the lead and the other person will not, but there are ways to claim the lead from that person potentially, so I think if you're a person like me who doesn't always look at the games Leader Games puts out because you think they might be too complex for you, or, you know, the asymmetric thing that they often do, give this one a look and yeah, maybe check it out, because it was not on my radar before my friend Greg said he had it and wanted to bring it over. And so I am very glad he did, and I enjoyed it quite a bit. So that is Arx from Leader Games.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people talking about this, or like they just got it or whatever. Was it a Kickstarter or something? I don't know, but everyone's been getting it recently.
Yeah, I assume probably, maybe, I don't know, but yeah, for whatever reason, I feel like I'm generally pretty up on releases, although if it was Kickstarter, maybe that's why, because when I was unemployed, I was basically like avoiding Kickstarter like the plague, because I knew if I went to Kickstarter, I'd find something I wanted, and I had no money, so...
It might have just been a pre-order or something. I'm not sure. But anyways.
Could have. Like, I mean, Leader Games, they always put out quality regardless of the channel. So it may have been crowdfunded, may not. But it does seem like they've got another really solid game on their hands. So, Ambi, we've talked at length about why we originally started the podcast. And you've also talked about in certain venues, you know, why you started doing board game parodies way back even before we did the podcast. Mm-hmm. But I figured it's been long enough now that it might be worth discussing not just why we're still making a podcast, but what particularly we love about making content about board games. Mm-hmm. It is a very niche hobby, and I think we kind of live in a content creator world nowadays, more so especially than when we started the podcast. Like, obviously content creators have existed for probably around 2 decades now in some form or another. You know, YouTube came around back in, what, 2005-ish?
Something like that.
I would say that's probably when it really started, but 8 years ago compared to now, I would say is vastly different in the landscape of how content creators are viewed. Like, it is, for some people, definitely a profession. For a lot more people now than ever before. And while you and I definitely do not make this our profession by any means, mostly because I operate in the board game sphere, and hoo boy, it's niche. And it's real hard. But for those of you that do make a living making board game content, good on ya, because hoo, man, it's rough. But somehow, we still enjoy it. I thought it'd be worth discussing that.
Yeah. I've been making like a lot more different content too recently.
Your
like...
videos are so good, Ambi. I cannot even.
But like, I'm not even just making board game content anymore, because I have like 4 YouTube channels, and 3 of them are related to board games, but one of them is just video games. So Basically, it just, I like board games still. Like, my hobby is making content. I've always liked crafts and arts and crafts and like making stuff. And so making content is kind of like that for me, especially the editing part.
It's a digital art and craft.
Yeah, it's like digital arts and crafts. And then you get to share it with people. And so when I make like creative editing videos, like the podcast isn't that creatively edited. Like that's, but like when I do like song parodies or something, that I find really, really fun because it's really fun to like make creative videos. And it's kind of like, yeah, digital arts and crafts. So making content has become a new hobby for me.
And you, I would say, not to toot your horn too hard, but the content you've made has always been, in my estimation, good quality. But it is just like lately, especially, it has gotten even better. And your passion is so evident in all of the work that you do. And I honestly, like, it kind of makes me sad that the YouTube channel where you're putting all of your video content, our YouTube channel, I don't make any video content at this point. It's all you. And we need more views. People, if you're not subscribed to our YouTube channel, Amy's making amazing stuff over there. Please go subscribe. It's free on YouTube to subscribe to a channel. Just go do it and support and hit the like button and do all the algorithm-y things, because YouTube is a weird wasteland of algorithms and whatnot. But I think it's neat that you're likening it to kind of arts and crafts and a hobby for yourself. So, because I think, were you ever concerned about it becoming too job-like or too tedious?
Yeah, I think sometimes I have that feeling. Sometimes I like look at other YouTube channels. Like whenever I compare myself to other YouTubers or like look at the numbers or something, then I have to remind myself, wait, I'm not doing this for the numbers and that. Because if I make it like a job, then I'll have to make stuff that I don't like because that's how the algorithm works. Like the reason our channel doesn't do really well is because I make a mishmash of stuff. Like I'm talking about children's games and then I talk about 18XX games, and it's like that's not the same audience usually. That's like just me. Who else has wants to play children's games and 18XX games? Like
I guess, I mean, there's a reason why like some of the most popular creators on certain platforms like TikTok generally talk about the same thing or do the same thing in most of their videos, because once they find their audience, they want to provide the content that that audience wants. And I can imagine that even if it was content that they loved to make at first, that it really can probably become draining at times to have to do the same thing over and over again. So for me, other than the podcast, I am not currently making other content for Blitz. We were doing Twitch for a long time, and we've both kind of, we didn't really discuss it, but we both just kind of like slowly tapered off our Twitch streams. And we still, and this is the first time we're actually, I think, discussing it kind of informally as, on the podcast in public, but like, it's not that I don't enjoy Twitch streaming, but we definitely, like, we had started Twitch streaming well before the pandemic. It was something that we had always kind of done occasionally when it made sense. And then during the pandemic, when we had nothing better to do, we started doing it a lot more, just like a lot of other people. And now that we are kind of further down the road, I think we're kind of falling back, at least from my point of view, into our prior schedule. Like, it's not to say that we'll never stream board game content on our Twitch channel, but it's just not probably going to be quite as regular anymore, at least for me. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, for me, I was streaming jigsaw puzzles on our channel, and then I like stopped doing jigsaw puzzles on our channel. And I liked streaming that, but I haven't had as much time for it. And then when I was streaming solo board games, I realized I don't really like streaming board games that much. So I did that, and then I felt like I needed to do it, and then but like I didn't like it that much. So yeah, like I stream on my personal channel and I stream video games, and I like doing that. I think it's because I don't like playing solo board games as much, and I like playing video games. So if Toby liked streaming, then I would stream with him probably, but like he doesn't like streaming. So like the opportunities for streaming aren't that much.
I'm kind of the same way. I'm not keen on solo board games either. much.
Yeah. And also like I have more time if I don't stream. Cuz I like making the videos and like editing those, and so I have, it's a lot more time having one extra night to do that. So I've been working on that. But I do sometimes think, "Oh, maybe I can stream if I have a solo board game," cuz I do still do like the print and play, or theoretically I have printed out some print and play games that I could play at some point. And if I just feel like it, then I could stream it.
Yeah. Like Like, for me, if I'm going to stream, it's going to be something I really want to do. And that's, if I don't want to, I'm not going to. For me, not just for us in Blitz, but for the board game community as a whole, like, the communities that form around board games and within board games have always been one of the things that I love the most and have excited me the most. And so the thing that I think I've kind of ended up dedicating the majority of my time to, aside from the podcast, has been building our community, which we originally had a Slack channel that was just for our Patreon supporters back when we had a Patreon. And then during the pandemic, we ended up switching over to Discord, and our Discord is open to everyone. We do have a channel in the Discord that is dedicated to our Ko-fi supporters. There is a private channel where they get to see some cool stuff that everybody else doesn't get to see. But I think the community building aspect of it for me has been where I have found more fulfillment than in the creation of other forms of content. Like, the podcast itself is still, like, it is my love, and hanging out with you is still one of my greatest joys. But aside from that, getting to see our community grow and evolve, and like people form genuine friendships within it, and like inside jokes that develop, it has been incredibly fulfilling for me, and I am just so proud of it. Like, I really, I'm always trying to get new people into the Discord because I think we've created a really beautiful and welcoming space where people can just hang out and talk about board games in the text chat if they want, or they can come to our weekly game nights and play board games online with friends, which we've had some people say, you know, they live in more remote areas where they don't have physical board game groups they can go meet up with regularly, and they now have a place they can go every week to play board games with friends. And that's what I wanted to make, and I did it, and we did it, and it's there. And we play at least once a week, if not twice, typically. And sometimes people get together on the other nights as well, but for me, that's my, like, my other favorite thing is just, I don't know, getting to meet other cool board gamers from literally all over the globe that I probably wouldn't have had the opportunity to get to know otherwise.
Yeah, I'm not as active in the community part because...
That's because you're making awesome videos!
Yeah, I guess I spend time editing, but...
Well, and you also, you know, have twins that you hang out with.
Yeah, I'm also not as much as, like, a people person.
Yeah, so,
like,
no, that's
like, see, the thing, I like, maybe I could pop in and say hi, and then I'm like, okay, now what?
Well, you are always welcome to pop in and say hi. Everybody would be delighted to see you, but I like, that's to me, so we're making content about the things we love, and we're getting to meet cool people and get to know them, and we get to share our passion with the world. And not everybody has the opportunity to do that in this life, really. And so I'd say, even though we did this ourselves, so to speak, I'd say we're incredibly lucky that we've been able to keep doing this for more than 8 years now. It's a pretty cool hobby to have.
Yeah. And that's it for this week's Board Game Blitz. Visit our website, boardgameblitz.com, for more content and links. This episode was sponsored by Gray Fox Game. Tsukuyomi Full Moon Down has returned with all new expansions. Head to Kickstarter now to join over 1,000 other backers in securing your copy of Tsukuyomi Amaterasu Rising today. And as always, you can visit grayfoxgames.com to get 20% off non-exclusive items by using the code BGBlitz24 at checkout. Join the Blitzketeer community on Discord for game nights, discussions, and more by following the link in the show notes. Support the show by leaving us a rating and review on your podcast provider. And if you like us a lot and want to support us monetarily and get some cool perks, check out our Ko-fi at ko-fi.com/boardgameblitz today. Our theme song was composed by Andrew Morrow. Until next time, hey friend, why don't you come over? Check this board game cover. Play this game with me. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Let's play their stuff right away when it comes out, because it's often... Sterling, could you not, please, right when I start talking? Just, he's been quiet the whole time you've been talking, and now he's barking.
It's like, hey, why aren't you talking to me?
Oh, and now you're going to bark? Dan, shush. I don't always play their games right away when they first come out because a lot of leader games games are asymmetric. Oh my god! Starlane!